chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Molly's not here today. Oh, man. Nikki's little friend Molly's not here today. I'll have to get on her, right? I'll have to get on Molly tomorrow, won't I? Say, Molly, you know what? Nikki was here looking for you, and you weren't here yesterday. How would that be? Would that be okay? All right. Isaiah chapter 49. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb." I want to stop there for just a minute. You notice where Isaiah was called from? Where was he called from? The womb. He wasn't even born yet. He was still in his mother's womb when God called him into service. Think of how many babies have been aborted that God may have called them from the womb. Wow. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and he made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the and preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We just thank you for this day that we can take and celebrate our veterans and the ones who have done things that a lot of us could not do, and that was to serve their country for your honor and your glory. And Father, we just thank you for keeping them out of harm's way. And we think of the many military all over the world today that are serving this great country. And I just pray, Lord, that you take and be with them. Keep them safe and guide them. Help them to realize that you're always with them. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We just pray now that we might get something out of this message. Help me to present this message in a way that you'd have me to present it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Servant. Servant. My servant. And if you saw the, or follow along as we read there a little bit, you see that Isaiah, it says, Thou art my servant. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about being a servant. You know, each of us in this room are servants, whether we feel that we are or not, but every one of us, believe it or not, are a servant. You know, some of us might be servants to the Lord. We do exactly what God has called us to do, and we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and others may be servants of somebody else other than the Lord, and that's not good. But, you know, some of us may be servants to an employer. You know, you don't think today too much about being a servant, do you, for the person that you work for? But in essence, that is what you are. You are serving someone who is going to give you a paycheck, so you are their servant. You know, some may be servants to others who will help them get through the day-to-day ordeals, and some may be servants to your parents. You know, most teenagers think that way, don't you, Jacob? That you're a servant to your parents. You know, they tell you what to do, and you do it or else, right? And so, but each of us, if we think about it, we're servants to something or to someone whom we spend time and effort. You know, that's basically what a servant is. It's someone who spends time and effort for someone else. And, you know, in the Bible, there's the phrase used over 80 times, and that's this: my servant blank. You know, my servant Abraham, my servant Israel, my servant Jacob, my servant Moses, my servant David, my servant Isaiah. You know, as we know, there are these were all godly men, weren't they? These were all men who did something for the honor and the glory of God. They were called by God to do a specific work, and they did it. You know, these were all Jews called to do what God wanted them to do for His honor and His glory. You know, I don't think any of us would dispute that these men were called by God. If you take and you think of the scripture that we just read, you know, Isaiah was called from the what? From the womb. He was called from the womb. You know, think about that. I mean, you know, here's God calling someone who is not even born yet into service. You know, how much better would it be than to have God call you His servant? You know, one day when we stand before Him in eternity, you know, it's going to be great to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," instead of, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, for I knew you not." What we need to realize is it, the best words that we'll ever hear is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, as I was reading my Bible one day, I ran across some verses which I just was really puzzled about. And it's in Jeremiah 25 and verse 9. It says, "Behold, I will stand and take all families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation." In Jeremiah 27:6 it says, "Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him." Now, Nebuchadnezzar was not a Jew. We need to understand that. He was a Gentile. Nebuchadnezzar was not of the 12 tribes of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar had no stock whatsoever in Abraham. Nebuchadnezzar was just a common Gentile. And yet, what did God call him? My servant. And you know, it really bugged me, and I was trying to figure out why God would take and call Nebuchadnezzar, one of the wickedest kings ever to live, my servant. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar was not a nice man. He did not do a lot of things that other people should have done. He should have been a godly man, but he really wasn't. But you know, I believe there are some things that we need to realize that was not only in Nebuchadnezzar's life, but we need in our own life in order to be called a servant. The first thing is this: a servant must be commissioned. A servant must be commissioned. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south." Now, Abram was called by God to do something for him. He was called God's servant. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. He was commissioned to do something. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And he said and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal beauty of countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, so that Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth." Now David was called, he was anointed, he was commissioned to be the next king of Israel when he was yet just a young boy. He was only about 16 years old. And God says, "Okay, I'm going to call you, I'm going to commission you to be the next king of Israel." What happens when we get enlisted in the army? Or Navy? Or Marine Corps? Or Air Force? You get what? You get commissioned. You get a commission into the service. That's how people are called into the service, is by their commission. We need to be commissioned into service. Abraham was commissioned to wander. Now, David was called to be anointed the next king of Israel. Now, in Daniel chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3, it says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me." How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. God had prepared and commissioned Nebuchadnezzar. Wow. You know what? That says a lot. That God commissioned Nebuchadnezzar to do something for him. Now, what he did was not, I feel the best, but it was in God's perfect plan. After all, what did he do? He went in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were slaughtered by the Chaldees as they came in to Jerusalem. But God had prepared and commissioned Nebuchadnezzar years before to conquer all of the known world at that time. You know, many times God will use those who may not know him as what he is. However, he will take and get them to do what he needs to get done. You know, this last election, I wasn't happy with some of the results. But you know what? I'm not out picketing it. I'm not out saying, "Oh, I wanted this to happen." I'm not doing that. Why? Because I believe it's all in God's provincial will. I believe that God's will is going to be done in America. I believe that God's hand is still on this country for the present time. Is it going to continue to be on here? That's up to the people. But I believe that God's hand is still on this country, and he's going to keep us safe, and he's going to keep us out of harm's way. You know, each of us, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are commissioned by God to do his work. Now, each of us, believe it or not, have been looked on by God to do something for him. You know, there's people that say to me, "Well, I'm so old, there's not a whole lot that I can do." Can you pray? Then guess what? That's what God's commissioned you to do, is pray. We had a lady in the church quite a few years ago. Her name was Mrs. McLemore. She was in her late 80s. And one day I was talking with her, and she says, "Pastor," she says, "I can't do a lot for the church, but," she says, "I can pray." I said, "Well, that's all you need to do." And I said, "As long as you're praying,
the church doors are going to stay open. She moved from the Florence area, moved up to Colorado, and she lived up there in an assisted care living center for quite a while. And when she passed away and went on to glory, her son called me and said, is there any way you could come up and do the funeral? I said, you bet, I'll be there. So I flew up to Denver and rented a car and drove over to Grand Junction, and I got there and I did the funeral. Well, after the funeral, her son walked up to me and he says, Pastor, I've got to show you something. I said, okay. And he had a Bible in his hand, and he opened up the Bible, and in it was six handwritten pieces of paper, front and back. And on each of those paper, she had people's names written that she prayed for once a day. Then he says, look at this. And he opened up another part of the Bible. And it had a two on there. And he says, I believe that grandma or mom prayed for all of these twice a day. And I go, wow, that is really neat. And he says, that's not all. And he opened up another place in the Bible, and there was a three on it. And he says, I believe that mom prayed for these people three times a day. And you know what? My name was on that piece of paper. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that we need prayer warriors in the church. We need people who will unsacrificially pray for the things that are going on in this church, so that the church doors will stay open. We need to realize that we have people in this church that maybe they can't do any physical labor. That's fine. You can pray. You can pray. So we need to be commissioned. The second thing we need to do is a servant needs to be devoted. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham did as he was commissioned to do. He took his family, he took all of his possessions, he took his nephew, he took everything that he had, and he left. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about this, Abram didn't know where he was going. God said, go. He didn't know how long he was going to be gone. He didn't know if he was ever going to be back. Now, I don't know about you ladies in here, but if your husband walked up to you and said, hey, we're moving. Where are we moving to? Well, I'm not sure. We're just going to pack everything up and go. Well, how long are we going to be gone? I don't know. Well, when are we going to be back? I don't know. Are we ever going to see our family again? I don't know. How many of you would say, okay, let's go, babe? Boy, you are good women. Oh, you know what? I know what my wife would say. You better have some answers. Yeah, but this is what God wanted us to do. You know, when we moved down here, at least I had a call. You know, God got on the phone and he says, hey, you need to move there. No, he didn't do that. But when we were in the plane crash, I knew that God wanted me to do something more than what I was doing. And so we didn't know where we were going to go. But through the plane crash, my wife couldn't live in Wisconsin anymore. She had moved to a drier climate. So she moved down here by herself. Guess what? She got better. So I said, okay, we're moving to Arizona. She was the one who moved without me. Does that say anything about our marriage? We moved down here. Well, I knew God wanted me to start a church. I had no idea where. But he showed us. He showed us where. And you know what? That's what happened. And we started Florence Baptist Church. You know, what we need to realize is once we're commissioned, once we're called in, we need to be devoted to do what God has called us to do. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him and had straightly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones away hence with you. When Joseph died, He was embalmed in Egypt. Joseph was down in Egypt. You remember the story of Joseph, how he said, told Pharaoh that there was going to be 7 good years, plenteous years, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he said, this is what we need to do. We need to find someone who can take care of the 7 years of plenty. So Pharaoh says, well, is there anybody like that other than you? And they're going, nope. So they put Joseph, took him out of prison. He made him second in command of all of Egypt. Put everything underneath him. And Joseph put all the food away for 7 years. They said that the storehouses in Egypt of that day that Joseph had were unbelievable. They had to quit counting corn because they had so much. But when the 7 years of famine came, Joseph opened up the doors and started feeding the people. And what we need to realize is this. God had commissioned him, and he was devoted to do what God had called him to do. Because when his brothers came down to Egypt, remember what happened? They thought, oh no! They didn't know who he was at first. But when they found out who he was, they go, oh no! He'll probably what? Kill us for what we did to him. But what did he say to his brothers? He says, no, he says, God did not cause this to be bad. It caused it to be good. And it was because of God I was able to save your families. You know, what we need to realize is we need to be devoted to what God has done. You know, Moses, over 400 years after Joseph had died, took his bones back to Canaan. And what we need to realize is that from generation to generation to generation, this was passed down how it had to be done. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Now David had already been anointed king of Israel. Saul was now dead. Jonathan had died. David was now the rightful king of Israel. David could have said, I'm going up and everybody's got to follow me because I'm the king. But what did he do? He called on the Lord. He called upon the Lord. He said, shall I go up? What do you want me to do, Lord? You anointed me king. What do you want me to do? And God says, go up. Go up. So he did. He went up, and then all the 12 tribes gathered around him and made him king of all the 12 tribes. You know, if a person's going to be a servant of God, you need to be devoted to him and to him alone. You know, in the day and age that we live in today, we don't have people who are devoted to a whole lot anymore. Many people are not devoted to their families. Maybe people are not devoted to their children, their jobs. You know, many people are not devoted to their so-called friends or their church, preacher, or even God himself. There's an awful lot of people today who are not committed to a whole lot of things. You know, I can remember growing up, we lived in Wisconsin. We about 35 miles from where we lived was the Janesville Chevy plant. But 35 miles north of us was Oscar Mayer. Most everybody, as soon as they got out of high school, went to work either at GM or at Oscar Mayer. How long did they stay there? Until they retired. They were there for all their life. They never left. They were committed to working for that company. We don't have that today. You know, people aren't committed to a company anymore. And believe it or not, companies are not committed to their employees. And that is the problem. You know, people don't know what it means to be devoted and to make a tradition. You know, we have traditions around the holidays and things like that that we always do. My wife and I, on Christmas Eve night, we'll come to church, we get down to church, and our tradition is to drive around for the next 2 hours and look at Christmas lights. We do. We drive all over and look at Christmas lights. That's our tradition. And we've always done that. When the kids were little, we'd pile them in the... And they're all the time, we're driving around. When are we going to get home and open up presents? Can't we get home and open up just one present? Go home first, then we'll go look at lights, right? But we go out, we look at Christmas lights, and then we go home and have something to eat, and then the kids would be able to open up one present and then go to bed and open up the rest in the morning. But listen, we need to be devoted and have tradition. We need also to be dependable. We need to be dependable. You know, this is this being dependable is for the long haul. It isn't something that you do one day and that's it. It's something that you do over and over and over and over again. Abraham was dependable to God for over 80 years while he wandered in a land which he would never own. He was allowed only to have one son by his wife Sarah. And then he was asked at the age of 116 years old to go and sacrifice him to God. Think about that. You've had a son, the only son you ever had, and God says, I want you to go up to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Boy, that'd be tough to do, wouldn't it? But you know what? He was dependable to do it. He took Isaac, he took the wood, he took the fire, and he took the knife. And they went walking up to Mount Moriah. And Isaac looked at his dad and he says, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, we've got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? Wow. Smart kid. Where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God will deliver it. God will provide it. God will give it to us. He will be dependable. You know, Moses was dependable for leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness and not being able to go into the promised land himself. When God told Moses he was not going to be allowed in the promised land, Moses could have said, okay, fine. Then you find somebody else to lead these people. But he didn't. He continued leading them. You know, David was dependable. When Saul was chasing him over the land, David could have killed him on two different accounts. David was in a cave with all of his men, and Saul came in and was sleeping in the cave. David went up, and he cut his quiver off of it, and he took it, took his skirt. Next morning, Saul's a ways off, and David comes out of the cave. He goes, hey, Saul, you forgot something. And he held him up. Ooh. Do you think maybe that sent shivers down Saul's spine, thinking that David was that close to him and never killed him? But David was dependable. God, he knew that God didn't want him to take Saul's life. Even though David was going to be the next king of Israel, he knew that it was not by his hand that Saul should die. Nebuchadnezzar was dependable. Even though he was not the promised people, God used him to punish Israel and make them realize that there was only one true God and they needed to serve him alone. He was a king of ambition and wanted to rule all of the world. And God allowed him. God allowed him to do that. You know, each of us who are blood-washed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should be commissioned to work for God. The very moment that we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are commissioned to do His service. The moment that a person is inducted in the service of our country, you're expected to do what? Whatever you're told. Amen? Get on, give me 50. You know what I mean? Kevin, you never had to do that, did you? Oh, did you? You know, once we're saved, we need to be devoted, we need to devote our lives to Him and do what He has asked us to do. We need to go where God wants us to go, do what He wants us to do, say what He wants us to say. You know, it's no different with our veterans. They're devoted a certain part of their lives to serve this country. To go where they need to go and to do what they need to do. We need to be dependable to do that work until either we're taken home or we receive our commission. You know, we need to do the work that we've been called to do until the time that God calls us out of it. It's no different with our veterans. They're dependable while they're commissioned to serve this great country. I personally cannot thank our veterans enough for all of their service that they've done. Being commissioned, devoted to serve, and being dependable when this country needed them the most. You know, when most men and women leave the service, they receive a paper thanking them for their service, and they're given an honorable discharge for that service. What better way to think at our last time when we are given our commission, kneeling at Jesus' feet, and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, it'd be better to do that than get a dishonorable discharge when you leave the service, or hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, for I knew you not." You know, the first thing we need to do to be commissioned by the Lord is we need to accept Him as our personal Savior. We need to understand that we're a sinner. We need to understand there's a penalty for our sin. We need to understand that Jesus died for us on the cross. And we need to accept Him. Then we can be commissioned. Have you ever been commissioned to the Lord? Do you know where you would spend eternity if you were to die today? We need to be commissioned. Once we're commissioned, then we can be devoted. Then we can be dependable for His honor and His glory. You know, I just praise the Lord so much for the servicemen and women that we have in this church. I praise the Lord for the many years that they've done what they've been called to do. And I'll tell you what, I can't thank them enough for what they've done. But what about you today? If something would happen to you today, where would you spend eternity? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for what You've done for us. I just pray now that You guide and direct us. Father, we thank You so much for this message. We thank You for our men and women who have served so faithfully in the service, who have done what they've been called to do, what they've been commissioned to do. They were devoted to do what they were called to do, and they were dependable all through their service time. And we just thank You so much for them. Father, I just pray now that You continue with this invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "You know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure where I would spend eternity if I were to die. I have never asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. I can't even be commissioned because I don't know where I would go." If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? I'm not 100% sure where I would go if I were to die. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "You know what, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've been commissioned. But you know what? I haven't been doing exactly what God wants me to do with my life. Would you take and pray for me that I can do what God has commissioned me to do?" Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, thank you so much for being honest.
Father, thank you so much for this invitation. I thank you for those who raised their hand. Father, I just pray now that you would take and help them to understand what they've been commissioned to do. And then help them to be devoted to what they've been commissioned to do. And help them also, Lord, to be dependable at what they've called to do. Father, I just pray now that you'll guide and direct for the rest of the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand to our feet and turn our hymnals to...